Hello, and welcome to another Let's Make. In this case, let's make a PC. What I'm making might vary throughout this series, but right now I'm making a bunch of PCs because of the newly released to backers Cypher Character Rulebook. Now, the actual everyone can buy it version will be going live in September. So backers got an early version, which not all the copy editing is 100%. The hyperlinks don't all work the way we want them to, but the content is there and it is glorious. And I am learning about the changes, most of which I'm very happy with as I am making more and more of these PCs. So today, as you can see from the character art, which is public domain, by the way, I put that up on openclipart.org. So you too can use an Ottermonk if you wish. They're just a happy little person, and I love this character. But I need to make this character. So we're making an Ottermonk, and let's switch to, there we go, Obsidian. Because I am using Obsidian to make all these characters, it saves the work in Markdown language, which I can import into a variety of things if I ever choose to use something that isn't Obsidian. Although Obsidian is, in my opinion, a great way of organizing things. You use what works for you. In this case, what works for me right now is Obsidian. So we are going to right-click and make a copy of my core character template. And we are going to name this PC17, because it's episode 17. And this is an Ottermonk. All right. So let's also do this part right here where we're adding 6 points split between might, speed, and intellect. I am going to do the tried and true method of I'm just going to split them evenly. I reserve the right to move things around a little bit later, but I'm not sure I'm going to need to. A monk character, I can see needing all three of these stats to varying degrees. So we've got that going for us now. And so if I go over to my flowchart, which if you're following along is on page 14 of the character rulebook, if you are listening to this when you too have a copy of it, if you have the PDF, it's page 16 because that's how PDFs work. It includes the cover and additional information. All right. So I have my core character made with 8 points in each stat pool plus 6 points added to the pools. Choose 2 skills and then an optional 3rd skill with an inability. So our fantasy skills that we could pick from, because this is going to be a dungeon fantasy style character. Stealth feels like a no-brainer. Stealth trained. Gymnastics, certainly. If we're going with the D&D style monk, which is what most dungeon fantasy games happen to treat monks as. And let's see, what else might I give them? If I want to give them an inability in something. For this specific character, I'm not going with monks in general. I'm looking at this character that I'm creating right now. You know what? I'm not going to give them stealth. I'm going to give them charm. I am going to give them, I kind of want to give them an inability in intimidation because look at them. Just look at them. They're adorable. But let's see. What ability would I give them as a bonus because I'm giving them an inability in intimidation? I could go right back with stealth, but you know what? If I'm spending this much time thinking about it, I'm going to say, well, I'm not going to do that and I'm going to move on because otherwise I'll have 45 minutes of thinking about it when these episodes tend to be 45 minutes long in the video versions. If you're listening to the audio only ones and going, oh, hey, wow, that was only 35 minutes. It's because I cut out the silences. I do not edit the videos. Those are live to tape, although technically it's not tape, but you get the idea. And then I upload those to Patreon and to my PeerTube. But I do a little bit of post-processing with the audio versions because I have to edit it anyway to make it be audio. And one of the things I do is just truncate the silence. I cut out the silences. Mike Shea cuts out the silences in his videos too. Although he does that, I believe, across the board for all of them. And I am not doing this as my day job, so I am lazy. Moving on to type. I've already said this is going to be a monk. So for type, we're going to write monk right there. And I can close this at, well, no, I'm not going to close that yet. First, I'm going to grab the otter monk. And which of these do I want? The one that's in a circle. Because when I make these, I also make sure I have one that can be used as a token. And most tokens in most VTTs. Oh, I might need to adjust that a little bit. I've got some cropping to do here for some of this overshadow. Although, I kind of like it, kind of, sort of. But maybe in the version that I end up sharing with everyone. Because I do share all this art in the notes for wherever you get this podcast or video. So you can download this art and use it as well. But when you download this art, you might not see these little bits sticking out here that I didn't see. Because on my end, when I was editing this image, it was on a white background, so it didn't stand out. All right, so now I can have that closed. And now I can go to the monk abilities. And we're going to start, as we have been doing, with our background. So background options. Brought up in a secluded monastery, you left before you completed your training and still regret it after all these years. Already, strong start. The master you were training under was called to the capital 2 weeks ago. Your old rival appeared in town a few months ago and apparently wants a rematch. Okay, so why are you here instead of in town? Your entire family was killed. I'm going to full stop there. I am not a fan of the "your whole family was killed" trope. And when a volcano erupted, sure, but eh. A document you found in a... Okay, sometimes the whole "your family was killed" thing can work, but right now I'm not in the mindset for it. A document you found in a library a year ago claims your family descends from dragons. Maybe if you were a kobold. Growing up, you never lost a competitive bout in the monthly games in your community, except once. You still search for the one who beat you in hopes of a rematch. Your close friend disappeared a few months ago, and their debts became your debts. So, close friend as in just friends, or close friends as in, oh, yes, those two individuals of the same gender who were living in the same house and never married for 30 years up until their deaths were close friends. Could be either for this, and I like that. In off hours, you've been studying artful flower arrangement for the last couple of weeks. I like how in a lot of these background options, there's just one from left field that pops out there, and it's interesting. But you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna pick the close friend one. And there's room for interpretation, and I'm going to let that room for interpretation just stay there, because there is a chance that I'm going to be taking all of these PCs I'm making and providing them in my home group as pre-made characters that they can play with. So maybe someone else is going to interpret that a certain way, and that'll be fine. Monk abilities. You can gain all the following... Well, you gain all the following, but it's not can, will. Able to take 3 more minor wounds and 1 more moderate wound. All right, so minor is all cleared out. We can take 6 of those, and moderate, we can now take 4 of them. Marked off. Add +2 to might pool, so that brings it up to 10. +2 to speed pool brings that... Oh, sorry. Might pool brings up to 12. It was 10. Speed pool also goes up to 12 from 10. And +1 edge in a pool of your choice. I am going to do the thing where I put a question mark in speed edge, because I might change it because I haven't looked at the abilities yet. Cannot freely use any armor. This is an unarmored character, to be sure. All right, so I'm going to put that under skills. Cannot freely use any armor. There's stuff here for tier 3 and tier 6, but we're not worrying about that because we're making it tier 1. And at tier 1, you gain the following abilities. So let's copy and paste all of these into place and then go over them. And let's also copy and paste this bullet point formatting, because that's fewer clicks than me doing it any other way. And we're going to make that bold and that bold. And now let's see. Flurry, 2 speed. After making a light unarmed attack, an extra action is... an extra action on your turn. Let me reread this using my words correctly in the right order. After making a light unarmed attack as an extra action on your turn, you make another light unarmed attack against the same target or a different one. That's a tautology. But okay, that's fine. That is fine. And that is an action. So basically, Flurry of Blows from D&D. At tier 3, you can make a third light unarmed attack. There we go. Nimble, which is 2 speed. So putting the edge in speed seems like it's very appropriate right now. As a first action, and again, I'm not in the mindset for first action and last action yet. That's going to take some getting my head around it. I might need to actually be playing the game in order to fully comprehend how those work. But as a first action, you move up to a short distance and then can take another first action, such as attacking with a light weapon or opening a door. The movement happens before the first action, not the other way around. Unlike a normal situation of taking an action and moving a short distance, this movement doesn't hinder your tasks. And this is an enabler. So it is not always on, but it doesn't cost you an action to do it. The actions are in the movement and the attack or the opening a door or whatever else. And the last ability that I'm gaining from being a monk, for tier 1, no need for weapons. Your unarmed attacks such as punches, kicks, elbows, or knees inflict an additional 2 damage. So you're doing 4 damage per punch. Wonderful. Right. And, is there an equipment bundle? There is an equipment bundle for this, but under monk abilities, it doesn't say you get the equipment bundle. My assumption is that in the other classes where it says you get this type of weapon or the equipment bundle, is saying you can trade your entire equipment bundle for this specific weapon, which is more powerful because it costs more or whatever. But monks don't tend to walk around with a lot of weapons, not the D&D versions of them at least. So you're just getting the equipment bundle. And we are going to select the equipment bundle and put it in there because, of course, we are. Copy that and paste it in equipment. And we are getting appropriate clothing, a backpack, a bedroll, 50 feet of rope, a meditation mat, 3 torches. I find it interesting that the necromancer does not get torches. 3 days of rations and water. A tinderbox. Another thing the necromancer doesn't get, they get matches. And only 10 of them. And enough extra currency to buy an expensive item. Huh. So we're not doing the whole vow of poverty thing for this one, that's for sure. If you're getting an expensive item. Or maybe it's like a relic from your order or something that you've been entrusted with, but it's not technically yours. It could be that. Could be. But that is all the stuff from our type. So now we are going to descriptors. So what is our descriptor going to be? Let's take a look. I already have an idea for how I want this character to be. So we are going to skim this looking for that kind of character description. Maybe intelligent? Kind would be an option. Charming. I like charming. Let's look at charming. That's going to be +2 to intellect and trained in charm or deception. I already have charm. I could pick something else. But what are my other options? So I'm not worrying about how I'm shuffling everything else around. Graceful. I already picked graceful for a different character. I could pick it again, but I want some variety in this. Jovial. +2 in intellect and trained in charm and performance. So 6 of 1, half a dozen of another. Perceptive, resilient, empathic. Other people are often open books to you. You may have a knack for reading a person's tells. That could be. The hyperlink for compassionate takes me somewhere else entirely. So we're not going to be doing that hyperlink. I'm using the menu on the side there. Compassionate, once again, gives me a bonus to intellect pool. Helping others is your calling. It's why you're here. Others delight in your outgoing and charitable nature, and you delight in their happiness. You're at your best when you're aiding others, whether by treating their injuries, helping them with a task, or putting the best face on a bad situation for the sake of morale. And that will give me +2 in intellect. So now I'm 12 across the board. We are going to go with compassionate. And let's give them trained in healing. There we go. So we've got that going for us. And there's one more descriptor we're going to put in there because species is also a descriptor. But because this is one that I am going to be homebrewing before I get out of this chair, I am saving that for the end. That's going to be the icing on this cake. So going back to my flowchart here, I've done the descriptor. Focus. Choose 2 tier 1 abilities from our focus. So let's go to the foci that exists. Works for a living. Sheen of ice. Walks through walls. Tends to the wounded. Is kind of on the nose. I might do that. So that's going to be on my short list. Strikes with mystic might. Oh, that sounds fancy. Your unarmed techniques are infused with otherworldly energies, enabling you to move beyond merely physical. GM intrusions, powerful strikes resonate, drawing unwanted attention or breaking nearby objects. You know what? I like this. Now, it gives me no need for weapons as a tier 1 ability, which means I'm not going to pick that. I am going to instead pick Mystic Hand and Supernatural Leap because I've got 3 different ones I can select. So is it doubling up a little bit? Kind of, sort of, but I have options. Strikes with Mystic Might. All right. So we are going to select our GM intrusion and paste that in under GM intrusions. Good to know that exists. And we are going to select our 2 new abilities, paste them in here. Make you bold, bullet point this, make you bold, and let's look over. Oh, what? I selected the wrong one. No need for weapons. In my defense, in the flow chart that they provide, no need for weapons is over on the far left, but they put it between Mystic Hand and Supernatural Leap because they're alphabetical order. That's what's going on. So there we go. Mystic Hand is now in the right spot. So you inflict an additional 1 damage with unarmed attacks with your Mystic Source. Once per round, if you take a wound and are not helpless, you can spend 3 speed to reduce the wound severity by 1 step. And that is an enabler. All right. You know what I'm going to do? Because I put 2 across the board, I am going to move 2 from my intellect pool over to my speed pool. Because all my abilities are speed-based, it looks like. Well, Supernatural Leap might make me do a might roll. But might's the second highest stat, so that'll work. But Mystic Hand, so now all my punches are doing 5 points of damage. I love that about them. Okay, this person's going to hit like a truck. Supernatural Leap, when you jump, you move twice as far as normal, either horizontally or vertically, and that is an enabler. Awesome sauce. So I have my foci special abilities. What is next on my to-do list flowchart? Making my homebrew species. Okay, so here is what's going on. I have a list, and I'm going to pull this over here so it shows up in the video, of homebrew species descriptors that I am creating to be fully compatible with Cypher 2 or New Cypher or the Cypher Character Rulebook, or whatever version name you're giving it, because even in the introduction, Monty Cook has given it different names. The shortest is just C2. But that's a side tangent. I had a whole bunch of homebrew species descriptors that I was using, and my home group has been using them as well. Chitika and Tam in my Cogworld campaign are both using species descriptors from my homebrew list. But I balanced those to be somewhat compatible with late Cypher source books, where species were getting more and more and more powerful. And so I'm redoing a bunch of them to make them be more balanced with current Cypher, with the formatting of when you pick this species, you're getting 3 things added to your character sheet. One of them might be preventing GM intrusions in a specific certain situation. If you are gaining a skill, oftentimes it's limited to a specific scenario and then something else cool. So that's how I'm doing them. That's why I've done with Kobold and Runnerkin and Pack Hunterkin. The way these different kin are structured, and I'm saying this where if this is your first episode you're listening to, hello, welcome. This is what I'm doing here for now. But also, kin are animal people, basically. They're not werewolves or weretigers or lycanthropes. They are anthropomorphized animals. Now, how anthropomorphized they are, that depends on what the player and the GM agree on. In my games, at my table, I let that be 100% up to the players. If they want to play a cat person where all they've got is cat ears and a tail, and otherwise they look 100% human, that's fine by me. If they're just going to be a slightly larger cat who happens to have opposable thumbs, that is also okay by me. Chitika is a ratkin, and they are a ratkin centaur. They've got 4 feet and then a torso with two arms. So when they go down running, they run on all sixes. And that's also fine in my book. GMs might have different takes on this if they're using this. And I'm putting all this out there under a Filthy Human Hands license, so GMs can use this stuff. With that said, I am doing an otterkin, so they are going to be a swimmer. So I am going to pause the recording here so you're not just watching me type. And when we come back, I will have a write-up for otterkin. And we're back. So here is my write-up for swimmerkin, which could be dolphinkin, otterkin, beaverkin, sharkkin, eelkin, some type of aquatic or semi-aquatic animal, whether they breathe water, the actual animal, not this incarnation of them, or they simply live on the surface. Like birds don't tend to breathe water, but some birds can hold their breath, for example. Ducks don't tend to breathe water very much at all. But you could make an argument that a duck could be a swimmerkin if you weren't making the bee an avian. With that said, you take to water like a fish to, well, you know how that goes. Your body is built for maneuverability on or under the surface, but not at the cost of getting around on land. None of the other species descriptors that I've read so far that are official give negative attributes. They're only saying, and you've got these things going for you in them. So I'm not going to put a negative attribute in here. The only exception to that I did was by giving someone light armor without saying I'm giving them light armor, in which case they did have an inability in speed defense. But regardless, perhaps your people prefer to be on the open seas, make homes in small woodland ponds, or maybe they just live on land and they only work in waterways for a living. And yes, I'm totally referencing the Star Trek movie with the whales. And I'm also, side tangent, very brief though, am thrilled that if you do a search for the one with the whales, you get that Star Trek movie. Regardless, let's move on. You gain the following characteristics. You don't get a GM intrusion if you roll a 1 on might or speed tasks while swimming. You know what? I'm going to change that because even though it's limited to just swimming, that's still way too powerful. Dodge or block rules while swimming. So now it's just defensive. You are trained in athletics if the task involves swimming, and attacks are eased by 1 if you or your target are fully submerged. That's not going to stack. So if you're both fully submerged, you're not easing it by 2, but still, right? So that means I need to copy this and change it. I did, while I was paused, update this art, as you can see. So we've got that going for us now with not those little bits not sticking out anymore. And this is going to go there. So I've added those into my character sheet, other than adding ciphers at the end, which I think would be more something for the GM to do right before a game, as opposed to me loading them up early. The only thing left for me to do is give them a name. And I, what do I want to name this little person? For all I know, they're 6 foot tall. They're not actually little. But what do I want to name them? Full pun mode. Otto. Gonna name them Otto. All right. O-T-T-O. Right. Friends, thank you for hanging out with me while I make another Cypher System character. I'm going to find that button to play us out. All right. Music you are hearing is Bubble Machine by Drozerix. It's public domain. Get it from modarchive.org. All the stuff I make eventually finds its way to aaronbsmith.com. That's where you're going to find links to my PeerTube, links to my Patreon, links to my Fediverse accounts. Some of those are repetitions of things. You can email me at aaron... No, I'm sorry. You can email me at cogwheel@aaronbsmith.com. And our Patreon, which I mentioned, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming, has several illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Liv Droman, Paul, Walter, and patron emeritus Cindy. Until next time, have fun.